We're so happy to have you today, and as always, we invite your attention to the Word of God. We know of a proverbial expression that says, "That knocked the wind out of my sails." Have you ever heard that? Well, I want us to think about somebody many years ago that had the wind knocked out of their sails. You can read about this in 2 Chronicles, the 9th chapter. Solomon had been one of the great kings, at least as far as accumulation of wealth was concerned. He began as a very wise man. In his older days, he let the world get the best of him and made some very foolish mistakes. But he was known in his early days of his wisdom. He built a house of God, and he overlaid the ceiling of it, the roof of it with pure gold, and all of the furniture in it was full of pure gold. And his wisdom was so great, and this was such fabulous wealth that it sort of drifted out around the world. And there was a queen down south, the Queen of Sheba, that heard about this. And she said, "I've got to go see that for myself." So she left her kingdom, went with her entourage, and traveled north there to Solomon and saw all of his wisdom. There was not anything, the question she asked, the Bible says that Solomon didn't answer. And she saw the wonderful house of God. She saw the wealth. And she said, "It took my spirit away." Well, that's just an ancient expression for saying, "Man, that knocked the wind out of my sails." To see all of this wealth. And to think that I got to see that magnificence of Solomon. Well, what knocks the wind out of your sails? You know, have you ever had the breath taken out of you, knocked out of you? I have a few times. One time when I proposed to my wife, man, did that take the breath out of you? Well, you see, when I proposed to my wife, she just insisted that I ask her dad for her. He was a very intimidating man, you know. I was a young fella, and I went in, and I was half scared to death, and the spirit went out of me, too. But I sat down, and I asked him, and I've never forgotten his answer. Do you know what his answer was, Paul? "She'll break you up buying shoes for her." What a fine answer. Well, that was sort of a relief. But nevertheless, I've had my breath taken out of me on several times. I remember the first time I took my first flight lesson, Brother Glenn. He took me up several thousand feet, and we climbed up, and you remember when the nose dropped. Whew! That was my first time up. I thought I was going to lose it. My spirit went out of me, and I didn't know where I wanted to fly or not. Another time in Memphis, Tennessee, when I went up for the first time on the Pippin, they call it. It's really the roller coaster. And we go up slow, you know. You ever been there? And you get up on the top of it, and it tips over and down. And your breath wants to leave you. Well, I've never forgotten that. But I'm not talking about those things. Even though the physical and the earthly sometimes can just knock the breath out of you, I'm thinking about life's experiences. I'm thinking about something that you have seen, something that deep down inside that you've heard of, that sort of leaves you lightheaded. It's sort of like, and I enjoy seeing this, little children, 1 or 2 years old, you know, and they see something for the first time, and it may not be anything but something flashy, and you ever notice with their eyes how it just comes open, I'm telling you. And it just sort of takes the breath out of them. And as you get older, a little bit of that wow leaves you. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, I've been there and done that"? Well, they've lost a little bit of it. However, now, I can identify with the Queen of Sheba a little bit. When she saw the wealth of Solomon and his wisdom, she said, "The half has never yet been told." When I was a young man, some of us went to Washington, D.C., and we visited the U.S. Mint. And when I went in there, something we say made my eyes bug out. And I gasped like that. I saw a bale of $20 bills. It was big as a cotton. I'd never seen so much money all my life. We were used to pinching the nickels during the Depression. And there was a bale of $20 bills. And the fellow that was there by it was sitting in a chair reading a comic book. He'd been there and done that. Well, it certainly caught my eyes. But I want to talk about something that's vastly deeper, something that really should take the breath out of our sails. People in the days of Jesus Christ were looking back to the days of Solomon. Oh, wasn't that a wonderful age? Oh, if we'd just been a living during the days of Solomon, you know, how great that would have been. If you'll read then, Matthew the 12th chapter and verse 42, Jesus says to those skeptical people, there's a greater one here than Solomon. Solomon, all of his wealth, could not forgive one sin. There's a greater than Solomon that is here. The Queen of Sheba, he says, came far away to see all of this wealth. And when she saw it, she said, the half has never yet been told. And Jesus said, you don't know the half of it. Hey, I'm here now. And she could have seen what's going on now. This man that's raising the dead and forgiving the sin and walking on water, going to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. What do you mean? Her saying at wealth, the half has never yet been told. What about this wealth? The wealth that Paul spoke of and said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Come to realize then, when it dawns upon you, what a treasure the forgiveness of sin is. And the gift and hope of eternal life, what a treasure that is. And Jesus said, if you had all the world and all the universe, it couldn't buy one sin away. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? So all of Jesus was saying that compared to Solomon and what is being offered here, through the one that's greater than Solomon, Solomon's wealth was filthy rags. And Paul had it right when he said, we have this treasure. And that ought to grasp us by the throat too when we think of really what it is. Paul is not the only one that made such a eulogy about Jesus Christ here, a doxology, I mean. John comes along and he says, to him who washed us, who loosed us from our sins and made us kings and priests, unto him be glory. Ah, now that'll take your breath away, shouldn't it? Well, sometimes I'm afraid that we don't really get the real gist of it, and it can become sort of blasé. Could we come down into the text and see Peter sinking, and Peter then comes on the scene and says, he lifted me. I was a poor fisherman, I was lost. What did I count for loss? I said, I left my fishing. Matthew said, I left my lucrative tax collecting. He saved me. And that was poor Zacchaeus. He was a thief. He had been. A lot of us hadn't been as honest as we ought to have been. But the day that Jesus came into his house, he saw one that was greater, far greater than Solomon ever was. I'm going to dine with you today. There was something about the presence of Jesus that just took Zacchaeus' breath away. Something about his atmosphere and attitude. Something about looking upon him and maybe into his eyes. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to restore fourfold anything that I've ever stolen. He said, salvation has come to you. There's a greater than Solomon here. And I'm sure that little Zacchaeus, who had to climb the sycamore tree to see him, could have said with exclamation, that takes my breath away. My spirit is gone. And to everybody else, the half has never yet been told. It could be said the same thing about the woman at the well who came, and Jesus, you remember, said, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water. He told her everything about herself. Oh, give me this water drink, said, go call your husband. Husband, I have no husband. That's right, he said, you've had several. But she went back into town and she said, come and hear this man. He told me all about myself. Well, life. Actually, what we're saying, he took my breath away, and the half has never yet been told. Poor old Mary Magdalene. Her life was wasted. She had seven devils. That just really means she's tough. She's mean. I don't know all of what's involved here. But the Bible says he cast seven devils out of her. Seven could mean complete. She's just completely bad. She was tough. But she said, I'll never forget that. Blessed Mary Magdalene was the first to the grave and the first one to whom Jesus appeared to. And I am sure that when he said at that resurrection and she was there, and he said, Mary? And she said, Ramona! The breath just left her. He said, don't touch me. I haven't gone to my Father in heaven yet. But nevertheless, what a time that would have been. What that would have been. You heard about prophets in the Old Testament Jesus was talking about. But he comes to one in the New Testament. He comes to John the Baptist. And there Jesus said himself, there is none born of women greater than John the Baptist. But he that's least in the kingdom is greater than John. I don't say it with any pride at all. And I don't even feel like really saying this, but that's what Jesus said. That the least of us Christians in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And the reason for that is John is going to die and he'll never see the kingdom of heaven. He'll never see then the resurrection, at least enjoy it with those on earth. And the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. But John had the wind knocked out of him one day when Jesus came walking up to him on the shores of the Jordan. And John looked and said, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Now Solomon was great. He did many things, had a lot of money, but he could never take away a single sin. And John the Baptist looked at Jesus Christ and said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And what a wonder it was. You've heard of the Queen of Sheba, how she lost her breath when she saw Solomon. Then the Bible says plainly, if you read it there, and I hope you do, in 2 Chronicles 9, that she lost her breath when she saw Solomon, minister's clothing. And then she saw how he ascended into the house of his God. And then said, they told me about this, but the half was not told me. Jesus is a greater than Solomon is here. Hey, wait, what if she saw me ascend back to my Father in heaven, where I'm going to be seated on the right hand of God? A greater than Solomon is here. And he ascended only to an earthly temple. And I am ascending back to the eternal temple of God, where there'll need no sun or moon or anything else, for God is the light. And where all of us who are going to decorate that temple with gold and silver and precious stones of character when we get there. God helping us, of course. So Jesus said, if she had her mouth open when she saw Solomon go up to that temple, what if she was with those disciples that saw me ascend with those two men standing by me in white apparel? If she could have her mouth come open when she saw the attire of Solomon's servants and ministers, what if she could see the robes of righteousness that I will clad my ministers with that come unto me? You see, the half has never yet been told. And somehow we need to regress that. She lost her breath when she saw all of those garments. But then the Pentecostans recognized that a greater than Solomon was here. When they heard about Jesus of Nazareth and the death and the burial and the resurrection, you know what the Bible says there? We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful words of God. How wonderful it was. And it was breathtaking. And even the Spirit itself came as a wind and as a breath. 3,000 of them were baptized on that day. And following those 3,000, of course, that could have shouted, "The half has never yet been told," was Cornelius and his household. And then there was Lydia and the jailer that would have shouted to the top of her voice, "The half has never yet been told." And beloved, well, I speak of all of this, and I've talked about times when my breath was taken away. And those times that I talked about were in this world, and they were temporary, ephemeral, and fading away. But I experienced a time when my spirit was moved within me, when I had my breath almost taken from me in emotionalism, that I'll never forget and I'll carry to my grave. And that was the Sunday morning in 1942 when the invitation was offered and something in me said, "Fenner, you got to go." And I went down that aisle and gave the preacher my hand and God my heart. I don't know of a day in my life that I felt any better than I did right then. I felt, for the first time, the presence of God in my heart and in my life. And I felt truly, I have a friend in Jesus. Oh, what a friend in Jesus. And if my memory serves me right, the invitation they were singing that morning was on the hill of Calvary. I still remember that. It lives with me. And that is the most cherished thing that I'll ever hold in my heart when I'm taking my last breath. Amen. And we're about to afford you that opportunity. What do you think of the gospel of Christ? Do you think of him as greater than Solomon? Do you think of the wealth of the forgiveness of sin greater than all the amasses of gold that he had? Do you think of the wisdom of Jesus Christ that says, "He that believeth on me hath eternal life. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved." Is that precious to you? Have you done that? I would to God that you could have the experience that thousands of Christians have had since the Queen of Sheba, since the Christian age. And that is, when I think of the beauty and the wonder of heaven, and when I think of eternal life, my breath is sapped from me. We want you to have that opportunity. The half has never yet been told. And I think that if you need to do that, and you obey the gospel this morning, when you leave here, you will be saying the same thing. I had heard about it, like the Queen of Sheba. I heard about it, but now it's mine. I've seen it, I know it, and the half has never yet been told. And I feel so sorry, so sad, for those that may have said it in the past. But for some reason, and through time, the old ho-hums have got them. Been there, done that, moved on. So much so that even Christianity and the salvation of their soul is in eclipse. It's dimmed and it's in the shadow. We pray to God that you'll remember when the breath was knocked out of you, when you were baptized into Christ. I don't know how many I baptized, and when I'd raise up, they really would. They do that way. It's almost like spanking a baby on the bottom when he's born. And the baby goes, you know. I've seen many, Paul, when I'd raise them from the water, do that way. And I thought, there's something here, you know, like that. Raised to walk in newness of life. Don't throw that away. When you leave here this morning, maybe you're already saying it, and God bless you. I know I am. But if you've lost that, we would like for you to return. We'll pray with you and for you. If that treasure is not yours yet, it's there waiting for you. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. If you can be penitent of your sins, we welcome you to come. All together we stand and sing.